Good day, friends. How are you feeling? What's going on? How is it today? Are you feeling okay? I sure hope so. I'm here again to spice up your day with some words of encouragement from the Bible. We spoke about the relentlessness of God in all that he does. I reminded us that God created the world, created Adam and Eve, but they messed up his plan, but he didn't give up. He continued with man from Adam and Eve to Noah, to Cain and Abel, to Noah, even until Abraham. From Abraham, he continued to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob and Esau. He is not giving up. From Jacob, he has continued with us. He has not given up. He has not given up. So I encouraged us to hold on and not give up. The God who created us does not give up. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are made in his image and likeness. So don't give up. Today we still see that God has continued. And his original intention of being friends with us, of being family with us, of having relationship with us, good relationship, sweet relationship, loving relationship with us, he has pursued. We see him call Abraham friend because Abraham believed him, and that's what he's called us to believe him. That was the error that Adam and Eve committed. They did not believe God. They believed Satan rather. In my own opinion, I guess they could have waited to ask God when he came in the evening to fellowship with them. Eve could have waited to ask God, "God, what did you say about this tree? Look, the serpent came around to tell me that you don't want us to eat of it because you know that when we eat of it, we'll have knowledge. We'll know so much. Is it true?" So God wanted, you know, that relationship. Trust. He wanted Adam and Eve to trust him above everything else. And it's the same thing today. God wants us to trust him above everything else. Everything else. And that's what we see in the life of Noah. That's what we see in the life of Abraham. That's what we see in Isaac's life, in Jacob's life, even in Esau's life. So we see all over the Bible. And then when the nation of Israel was bettered through Jacob, his 12 sons, this is what God is after for us to believe him. So be encouraged. God has not given up. Even though the generations after generations that have not believed him totally, have not, you know, followed him wholeheartedly, he has not given up. He still loves us, and he still pursues us and woos us. And the ultimate wooing, as in wooing a woman, he has done through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, sacrificed himself, the ultimate sacrifice that no one could ever do. Sacrifice himself, but not just a sacrifice on the cross, which is something words cannot describe, words cannot, you know, completely be used to appreciate. God has not given up on us. Jesus left heaven sinless. God sent him down to earth to in the form of a baby, and he grew like us. Try to wrap your mind around this. God sent his son down to earth to become man, so he could feel everything we felt, so he could touch the things we touch, just so he could experience life as man in this fallen world. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who walks on streets of gold. In fact, we cannot describe heaven, we cannot describe God's abode. For he left his glory and came to earth to do for us what we could never and can never do for ourselves. So God has wooed us, and this is the ultimate, this is the ultimate love that anyone could ever wish for. So be encouraged that God loves you, and throughout the Bible we see his love for us. So I'm going to continue to look at each book of the Bible to draw out scenarios of God's love and God's character that will encourage us. Stay blessed. Hey, welcome back. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12 in the Bible. This is where God said to Abraham, to Abraham, his name was Abraham at this time, Abraham. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So we see from the word, what I draw out of here is that when God called Abraham out, he didn't just say, follow me. He told him something. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And he told him what he was going to do with him. He told him the outcome. He told him what, where he was taking him to. And the same is true with each one of us. When God calls us out for something, he shows us the end. He shows us his, what his picture is for us. And we see, as we continue reading in the same chapter, how God appeared to Abraham again and told him that he was going to give him the land when he had gotten to Canaan. God appeared to him in verse 7. Say, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. So God came again to tell him. Oh, so God came again to assure him, just in case Abraham was thinking, this journey, are you sure? Maybe I was hearing myself. Oh, God came again and assured him. And then in verse 10, then we see that there was a famine in the land. Abraham did not envisage this. What was he going to do? What was he going to do? So he went to Egypt to dwell there. And then when he got to Egypt for some succor, when he got there, the king wanted Abraham's wife. But look at what God's word tells us in verse 17. It said, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? But he had taken her. And after he had taken her, he wanted Abraham's wife, but God, because of what he had done, strange things started happening. The sheep were no longer fruitful, the women were not fruitful. God did this to protect him. God was taking Abraham somewhere, and he was going to achieve what he had called. He was going to make come to pass what he had called Abraham out for. So when Pharaoh noticed this, he said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me? Well, it wasn't Abraham that did it. The only thing Abraham did was he didn't give out the true complete identity of his wife, because he had told Sarai that he should, that she should not say she was his wife, or that she was his sister. So we see God protecting Abraham here, and the journey continues. So what is the juice in this? What's the sweetness in this? What's the encouragement in this? Encouragement is that if, when God has called you to something, for example, you are now a believer, God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has not called you into his marvelous light so you'll be redundant, so you'll be, you know, so you just be there and just exist. No, he has called you onto something, he has called you onto glory. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, the holy nation, people set apart to show what is praise. They're peculiar people. I'm paraphrasing now. So be encouraged. God, who has called you from your life of sin, you know, before you were saved, to who you are now, he is interested in your good. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So be encouraged. God loves you. He's taking you somewhere. Don't give up. Look to him. Look at his character. And be reminded that God is faithful. As he was with Abraham, he's much more with you. Because in the person of Christ, he's now within you as a believer in Christ Jesus. And if you have not put your trust in Jesus, you are not left out. He's still calling you, just as he called Abraham and said, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now the land that he wants to show you is very clear. It's a land of light. It's a kingdom. It is kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. And he's calling you out of your life of emptiness, because there's a void in every man born of Adam. And in every descendant of Adam, everyone, even a baby that is just born today, when he begins to experience life and is getting to the age of realization and accountability, you know, he will start to feel a void that his mother cannot feel, his father cannot feel, no one can feel except God and the person of Jesus Christ. So God is calling you today to come out of your family, come out of what of the opinion of others, of what other people think, and make a decision to place your faith in Christ Jesus and follow him. There's a land he wants to take us to. Here on earth, his desire for us is beauty, glory, you know, strength, every good thing you can think of that is godly and glorifying to him. Is what he wants for us. Is it riches? That's what he wants. But I'm not telling you now to put your faith in him because you want to be rich. I'm telling you, put your faith in him because there's an emptiness in your in every heart that he alone can fill. He will make life meaningful for you. He will make life, you know, enjoyable for you. Even in the down moments where you feel, oh, what is all this? I thought I came to Christ. Oh, why is my life like this? Even at such times, he remains the hope and anchor in your soul. He is in mine. I've experienced terrible days, but his love in my heart is undeniable, and there's no one else like him. He can be same for you. So he's calling you to come out of your country, whatever that represents. Maybe it's a career in that you know is not. It's not the career. It's calling you out of the life of sin. He wants to give you a new heart. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible also says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God wants to dwell in you. This is his character. When he starts with you, he will not abandon you. When he starts with you, that thing for which he has called you to, specifically just designed for you, something, because each one of us is unique. He will bring it to pass, and he will not just bring it to pass here and there. He's going to make it count for you in eternity. So make a decision today. God loves you. Thank you for listening. So if you want to put your trust in Christ, you just say this prayer after me and say it in your own words. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today to put my trust in you. I believe that you died for me and that you want to dwell in me and make me your abode. I believe that you want to take me out of darkness and put me in your kingdom, in the kingdom of your dear Son, the kingdom of light. I put my trust in Jesus right now. I remove my trust for myself, for my career, for my money, from my family, and I put it in you. I say, Jesus, save me from sin. Fill the void in my heart, Fill the hole in my soul. Fill me with you. Fill me up. I receive your eternal salvation, and I receive grace to follow you onward in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you in Jesus' name. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord protect you. The Lord give you godly influence, godly acquaintances that will help you in your walk with Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.